It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. What I guess we're going to have to start calling the Deja Vu All Over Again edition. Maybe the When Are We Going to Get Sick of All This Carnage edition. We're going to be talking about the news, starting off, of course, with the news that's been dominating the news. The shooting in Las Vegas. The most horrific mass shooting in modern U.S. history. Not sure exactly what modern means, but I guess that's since anybody's been able to keep track of such things. President Trump sends his prayers to the families of the 58 people confirmed dead at this point and the well over 500 people injured. Small favors, but let's hope that Trump manages to send more to the families of those who were lost and to the rest of us who might be in line at some point in the future. We want a response from a president who's competent, such things, from a government that's able to react to such terrible situations. Maybe even a president who can not only send prayers, but who can actually reach out and help himself. Maybe someone who can connect with another human being. Someone who's capable of empathy. I don't mean to place too fine a point on form over substance. But by all accounts, having a president who can show some connection with people helps. Instead, we have Mr. Spock. Not the logical Mr. Spock, just the Mr. Spock incapable of emotion and empathy. Trump said the right things because he was reading from a prepared script. But if you listen to Trump speaking, even in something this horrible, he doesn't seem to even be able to fake the idea of really caring. But that's okay, according to Trump and all the Republicans. Let's be clear that this is not the time to talk gun control. Just like all the hurricanes, it was not the time to talk climate change. It, of course, will never be time to talk gun control, and it will never be time to talk climate change. Not the time to talk gun control. Trump politicizes every tragedy. He's managed to turn all the tragedies so far, at least up until this one, into some kind of a statement about how great Donald Trump is. But nobody else can politicize these things. This is typical from the Republican playbook, from when the Republicans under George Bush were warning Democrats not to try to politicize 9/11. While the White House was sending out Christmas cards featuring George Bush at the World Trade Center site. It's time to talk about gun control when one person can take down 580 people. The world will always have crazy people. The world will always have assholes. But maybe we should be making an effort to make sure that those crazy people and those assholes don't quite have the power to create the kind of destruction that this asshole, and I will not use his name, or crazy person, did. Instead, the craziness extends to the United States government, which not only refuses to do anything to limit gun violence and the carnage that results from the gun violence, but actually seeks to make things worse. Not the time to talk about gun control? Then I guess it's not the time to talk about how in February, President Trump, the man-child, signed a bill making it easier for some mentally ill people to obtain guns. Since the beginning of the Trump administration, and before with other Republicans, we have seen efforts to ensure that people on the terrorist watch list still have the ability to buy weapons. They are ensuring that we can still sell cop killer bullets. That's what they're colloquially called, because they are made to penetrate Kevlar bulletproof vests and thus kill cops who are likely to be wearing those vests. But that's okay, because they stand for the national anthem. Killing cops, letting suspected terrorists get weapons, that doesn't matter as long as you stand for the flag. We might say that this would be a good time to talk about gun control and to get information regarding gun control. But we can't really do that, because we're operating under the Dickey Amendment, which prevents the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention from compiling information, data, regarding gun control, guns, and public health. We're not even allowed to get information. Part of the Republican war on education and information. And as we speak, Congress is working on making it easier for people to get silencers. How would that have affected this killing? Doesn't matter how it will affect any particular one, but it will make killings more likely to be more successful. Since the Orlando tragedy, the Orlando nightclub tragedy, we have had 477 days and 521 mass shootings, averaging more than one mass shooting a day. So when will it be time to talk about gun control if we can't talk about it in the wake of a mass shooting? Apparently, it will never be time to talk about gun control, because it is always after a mass shooting. Since that time, more than 585 Americans have been killed. Well over 2,000 have been injured in mass shootings. Since the carnage at Sandy Hook Elementary School, which also was insufficient to prompt any reaction worthy of our government. In December of 2012, we have had more than 1,500 deaths. Since 1970, more Americans have died from guns than have died in all the wars in U.S. history. And that tidbit, I believe, is dying from all wars, not dying from guns in wars, which is only a proportion of those who've died in all wars. 92 Americans die from guns every single day. That is about 34,000 a year. About 30 out of a million people in America die as a result of homicide. Among other industrialized Western European nations, Switzerland is number two, somewhat behind the United States 30 at 7.7. And to be fair, I think in Switzerland it is legal for bankers to shoot somebody. That's not actually true. We have had about 35 and a half gun deaths when one factors in suicide. United States children are 14 times more likely to die from guns as children in other developed countries. Children are liable to die from suicide. I know more than one person, a child, who has used a gun to commit suicide. Not the time to talk about gun control. It probably isn't, because this is a conversation we should have been having continually for the last 20 years. But our government seems incapable of doing anything. Congress, in fact, is more against gun control than the public is. For instance, 80% of the public support background checks. Not Congress. Not closing the loopholes that allow people to buy lots and lots of guns. Is Congress going to do anything? Is Congress capable of doing anything? I've been asked in class all day today, what do you think about the tragedy in Las Vegas? And my answer is, what do you think I think about the tragedy in Las Vegas? I think it's a I think it's terrible, it's sad, it's awful, and it is a national disgrace. And it is time to do something about guns. And if the sons of bitches in Congress are incapable of doing anything, are so enthralled of the NRA and other right-wing pro-gun groups, once again, the lunatics taking over the asylum, then it's about time, and I keep asking this, that this country throw the bums out. Steve Scalise just got out of the hospital after his role in being shot in a mass shooting. I'm interested in hearing what his position on gun control is going to be. Let's see if there's any bravery there. The bet on this show is, no, he will prove himself to be the bitch that every Republican and many of the Democrats need to be to the NRA, and he will find some excuse to think that it's okay not to act in the wake of his almost being killed. And thus we get to the NRA, much of the reason that Congress is capable of doing nothing. An organization basically promoting the selling of guns, the representing the interests of firearm manufacturers, that couldn't give a shit about America or Americans, just wants more money. But that's probably okay, because I'm willing to bet that they stand for the national anthem, morons. This is the level of conversation we have in this country about what it means to be a patriot. George Bush Sr., the better Bush, famously, publicly renounced his NRA membership when they accused U.S. government agents of being Nazis. But nobody since, and we've forgotten all about that. No, it's about selling more guns. The one reason that the NRA wasn't so unhappy about our black president, because that led to selling a lot of guns. The United States has 4.5% of the world's population, and almost one half of all guns owned by civilians. Something needs to be done, and it needed to be done years and years and years ago. And anyone who refuses to do anything, sure as hell should be called out when they call themselves a patriot. But that's okay, because we've got fake news rushing to the rescue on this one. We've seen immediately in the aftermath of the crisis, no time for pause, no time for any respect and consideration. Oh, we don't want to politicize this crisis, according to Republicans, but the conservative bullshit sites were out in full fetter, issuing fake reports about the shooter, immediately sending information that he was a liberal, he hated Trump, and this was all about the opposition to Trump. Following up with, he recently converted to Islam. I was asked, what do I know about the shooter? At this point, we don't seem to know very much about the shooter. But what we do know is that the lies have already started to be spread. Other fake news about this one? That the NRA will tell us that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. So let me understand this. The people at this country music concert should have pulled out their automatic weapons, aimed it at a major hotel, and started shooting out all the windows at the shooter? They're going to have to come up with a different bullshit excuse for this one, but don't worry, people, they will. Turns out that the states with the most guns have the most gun deaths. Who could have seen that one coming? America with the most guns, have we indicated, has a lot more deaths than any other, at least, advanced country. This includes the police, by the way, who are 3 times more likely to be murdered with a gun or to die with a gun than our police in states that regulate their guns and have low gun ownership. Australia, as we're being reminded again, might show the way on regulation. Australia had a gun problem, And they did something radical, ridiculous, liberal. They limited greatly the availability of guns. They issued regulations. And you know what happened? It worked. Gun deaths have declined precipitously in Australia. In the United States, though, the NRA uses the slippery slope fallacy. Ban a silencer to save lives? Pretty soon that'll mean they'll come to take all your guns. Ban automatic weapons? Ban semi-automatic weapons that can easily be converted to automatic weapons? Oh, no, no, no. Pretty soon they'll come for your hunting rifle. Take lead out of bullets. Take the cop killing out of bullets. Pretty soon they're going to take your guns. We talked in our reasoning fallacy episode long ago about the slippery slope fallacy, that you can't draw a line somewhere. But we have drawn a line in the past, and we can draw a line again. We could limit weapons that allow people to create this much destruction. We've also talked about how the Republicans are big on states' rights, whenever it benefits corporations and bigots. But when it actually is about the rights of states to protect their citizens, Republicans aren't so big on that. When it comes to gun control, they're not in favor of states' rights. They don't like states' rights. States shouldn't be able to ban guns. In fact, the latest thing they've been working on is to make sure that states that try to restrict the availability of guns have to honor concealed carry permits from other states to allow more guns. If it were up to me, what would we do? We would ban a whole lot of guns. We would do a lot of things that we're not really going to do. I would start with, anyone who's mentally ill should not be able to get a gun. Now, ideally, that would include anyone who voted for Donald Trump for President of the United States. I don't think I'm going to win on that one, but I probably should. So, moving from one disaster to the next, we've got Puerto Rico. Or, as many of us learned this week, an island surrounded by water. Big water. Ocean water. This is our commander-in-chief. But how about our acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Elaine Duke, who pretty much described the devastation of Puerto Rico as the feel-good story of the century? That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but she said it's a good news story. At this point, we only know 34 are confirmed dead. Although the infrastructure being what it is, people in Puerto Rico, who seem to know what they're talking about, say that they expect the death toll to go into the hundreds. The vast majority of Puerto Rico is still without electricity. But at least Donald Trump was able to come down for a little while and fake empathy. That is, when he wasn't blaming the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulín Cruz, for not jumping on the Trump bandwagon, for actually trying to stand up for the health of her people, rather than tell everybody what a great man the President of the United States was, because there is no tragedy too great that the President of the United States can't make it about him. Then he went on to blame Puerto Rico for not helping itself. That's right, this coming from President Up by the Bootstraps man, Donald Trump, the self-made man, the man who's managed to fight his way out of every problem he's confronted with the help of daddy's money, daddy's connections, a man who basically has never taken responsibility for anything, has the nerve to blame Puerto Rico for asking for help. To the point a couple of days ago of seeming to indicate that he was preparing to send them a bill. Whatever we end up doing to help this devastated island, how are you going to pass back? We're going to send them a bill. because after all, Donald Trump is somebody who always pays his bills. Several weeks ago in the New Yorker, I was reading New Yorker editor David Remnick describe Donald Trump, and I think very well, as dishonest, inept, unbalanced, and immoral. I have some other adjectives I would add to that, but four is kind of a nice number, and those four pretty much neatly sum it up. The reaction from Trump has, of course, been incompetent and incoherent. What we hope is that there are some people, as we keep saying week after week, who are left in disaster relief from the Obama administration when they put competent people in. Civil servants, government people are still around, and that the Trump people don't get in the way. They're all the same. It doesn't matter who the president is. Hillary Rodham Clinton tweeted right after the hurricane that we needed to send the hospital ship. Days before Trump got around to sending the hospital ship, we all got excited that it got there recently. No, the president was too busy with his latest tweet storm, sending out apparently about a couple of dozen tweets on Puerto Rico alone about how great he is, when he should have been doing something. That's okay. He has nothing else to do. Couldn't we at least get him out of the way? Can nobody show this guy porn to keep him away from Twitter for a little while? Because all he does is get in the way. And we're back to empathy. The empathy that Mr. Spock was once again unable to show for people in need. As evidenced by the Howard Stern video, the outtake that just came out recently, where Donald Trump laughingly talks about an 80-year-old man or so falling off the stage, collapsing and falling off the stage at Mar-a-Lago, banging his head and lying in a pool of blood. And how Donald Trump apparently thought this was pretty funny or gross. Anyway, he was concerned about the guy getting blood on his marble or his carpeting and specifically said, "I didn't give a crap." This is the president. You know, at least after 9/11, George Bush had his shining moment. He was able to fake empathy well enough after 9/11 that people felt that the president was in their corner. They felt better knowing that the president cared and was going to fight for them. Bush was able to fake empathy so well that if he were a woman, he's so good at faking it, he probably could be married to Trump. Donald Trump cannot even fake giving a shit about another human being. Okay, speaking of not giving a shit about another human being, we go from tragedy to tragedy, and we've got the Trump tax plan, the Trump Republican tax plan to talk about for a little while, because it's been scored by some independent organizations who've started looking into the plan. Plan would far exceed $1.5 trillion in cost to the United States. In fact, the Tax Policy Center recently estimated $2.4 trillion over 10 years. Those benefits, and who could have seen this one coming, will overwhelmingly benefit corporations and the rich. Gosh, just like every Republican tax plan since I've been alive. Who could have seen this coming, Charlie Brown? She didn't keep the football down. It is expected to reduce government revenues by $7.8 trillion over the next 10 years. $7.8 trillion. Does anybody think that that $7.8 trillion might be better spent elsewhere than going to further enrich billionaires? Maybe for disaster preparedness, for one? Maybe to shore up our roads, our internet, our electrical grid? Maybe to create an earthquake warning system, as we discussed last week? No. We need to loot the government, because that's what's going on. Republicans are in charge. The looting goes full speed ahead. But that's okay. Listen to conservative media and Donald Trump, and you will hear, we are lowering taxes on the middle class. You will hear about the middle class miracle. Yes, the middle class in America will save pennies. The rich will save hundreds of thousands. The top 1% is expected to see an annual tax cut of $175,000. The bottom 99% income earners in this country will see their federal tax rate drop by 0.4%. The top 1% will see it drop an average of 5.7%. And the top 0.1%, which includes people making more than $3.4 million each year, will see far and away the greatest benefits. When will we wake up to the looting of the country? They will, among other things, be ending the deduction for state taxes, but oops, it's already falling apart. Maybe not that one. But that's okay, because in order to make this tax cut plan, the looting of the government, filibuster-proof, so that Republicans can ram it down our throats, the GOP announced its budget. We'll show the tax cuts will not hurt the budget. But wait a minute, the tax cuts will hurt the budget. Ha ha, not if you engage in fuzzy math. According to the GOP, it balances the budget within 10 years. Taking a page out of Paul Ryan's brave playbook. That balancing will come after trillions of dollars in cuts. Where are these cuts going to be felt? It doesn't say. We'll tell you later where the cuts are going to be. We're going to fill in those blanks, those little rounding errors later. We're going to assume economic growth that, what's the word, economists think is ridiculous. To lie and say, we're not going to break the budget with these tax cuts. And then, hopefully, with any luck, in 2020, when people wake up a little bit and throw these pieces of shit out of office, then they get to pull the whole starving the beast. We're in a huge deficit. We don't have money to do what Democrats want to do. Last bit to talk about. Last week, we talked about Tom Price being the ethical scumbag of the week. Who knew we were this powerful? Because this week, Tom Price is out. Tom Price is out because he was corrupt and looted the government of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of airplane flights. Just kidding. Anybody really think he's out because of that? Maybe he's out because he got caught. Maybe he's out because he got a black eye for the president. Maybe he's out because healthcare didn't go through. But he sure as hell isn't out because of corruption. Who may be next? Well, Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, looks to be on the chopping block and may be the next cabinet member out. Reports are that he called the president a moron. And then, when asked about it, wouldn't just say, I never said that. Clearly he's not a moron. Sound familiar? Tillerson has some history with this, which we discussed a few weeks ago. So Tillerson, apparently, might be out for telling the truth. Or for having a brain. Neither one of which is acceptable in the Trump administration. Okay, we'll be back next week with lots more news, including follow-up on some of the big stories that we did not get a chance to get to this time because of the tragedies that dominated this show. Anyway, like what you hear? Like listening to Forward Nation Radio? Go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com, and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Once again, please share us with your friends and please get people to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you like what you heard, please like us on Facebook. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. See you next week. Thank you.
listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.